This is much more than another choice in your life. This is a matter of life and death.
That's how a senior spokesperson for the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, or USCCB, describes the impact of one of the key issues being discussed by the prelates at their current Spring General Assembly in Seattle. Those remarks refer to the subject of assisted suicide, as the bishops are scheduled to debate and vote on a document on this issue at their three-day meeting. Entitled To Live Each Day with Dignity, the document is the first statement on assisted suicide issued by the full body of the USCCB. So what prompted the US bishops to draw up such a document, and what other issues are on the agenda at their meeting this week? To find out more, I spoke to Sister Mary Ann Walsh, Director of Media Relations at the USCCB.
Well, the meeting is being held in the state of Washington. And Washington, along with Oregon, are two states in the United States that have approved legislation that permits a physician-assisted suicide. This is a grave concern to the U.S. bishops because you see policy being established or people attempting to establish policies all around the nation on assisted suicide, which is making people's lives, particularly lives of the sick, feel less valued. It is completely against respect for the dignity of every person. And the bishops want to make sure that people know that this is not the right way to go. There are options. There is palliative care. There is hospice. There is other medical care. And even ignoring the fact that we have all these hospices and palliative care, there's an intrinsic dignity of human life that is being completely rejected by the proponents of euthanasia.
And how strong are the proponents of euthanasia or the assisted suicide movement in the U.S. in general?
Well, it's hard to predict. They've been successful in two of the states, so that is a concern. Ideas that you thought a few years ago were unheard of or laughable are becoming acceptable, and so I think the bishops feel that they have got to speak out now so that Catholic people and the general public are well-armed for these debates, so they really understand the issues. This is much more than another choice in your life. This is a matter of life and death.
And can you tell us, what are some of the main points on this draft document?
Well, the document speaks about the hardships and fears of patients who are facing terminal illness and the importance of life-affirming palliative care. People shouldn't feel that they're a burden to society. And we want to make sure that they understand that they have inherent worth as individuals. The document cites the Church's concern for those who are tempted to commit suicide, its opposition to a physician-assisted suicide. I mean, people who are chronically ill, people who are dying, can feel suicidal if they're not supported by the community around them, assuring them that their life has value. There are two things that people fear when they're dying or at the end of life. One is pain, and the other is isolation. Well, pain can be handled rather expeditiously by the medical community. They are much more advanced in pain control now than they ever were. And the rest of the Christian community certainly can deal with isolation in that we support people. We give them the message, you are not alone. So these are points that are of concern to the bishops and that come out in this document.
Do the bishops also fear that voluntary, so-called voluntary assisted suicide, is the first step on a slippery slope down to involuntary euthanasia?
Well, yes, that certainly is a concern because you can go quickly from helping someone to take their life because they don't have any hope to deciding to take someone's life because you don't have any belief in their future. So you quickly get away from what, you know, people want for themselves. And the cost consciousness emphasis, particularly in medical care, if you put that along with the possibility of, well, let's end it all here and save a lot of money, you're slipping into a very barbaric attitude toward human life.
Now, another item on the agenda at this meeting is revisions on the Charter on the Protection of Children and Young People. What are these revisions and why are they being proposed?
Well, every document certainly can get better, so that's certainly an underlying reason for improving the Charter. But the Charter has to be brought in line with the recent Vatican changes. As you recall, last year, the Vatican was stressing that pornography, child pornography, explicitly ought to be mentioned. Now, implicitly, it's in there in that any external violation of the Sixth Commandment is a violation of the Charter. But putting it in that you really mean child pornography makes it that much stronger. Secondly, as you know, the Vatican last year pointed out that while this is a charter for the protection of youth or children and young people, is also to be included in that are people who have the mental capacity, children or young people, because they've been developmentally disabled. And so to specifically point out that these people are also protected, so to speak, by the charter.
Yes, like in England, I know that they have a charter for young people and what they call vulnerable adults.
That's exactly. This is exactly the people. Vulnerable adults will be mentioned specifically in this charter.
Right, also on the bishop's agenda is a presentation on the defense of marriage efforts by the USCCB. What does this consist of?
Well, the Defense of Marriage Project has many facets to it, one of which is noting the need to oppose statutes which would make a gay marriage or homosexual marriage, using the word marriage is wrong there, a union as a marriage. Bishops believe, and the church believes, that a marriage is a union between a man and a woman. It is not between a man and a man or a woman and a woman. So that's part of the defense of marriage. The secondly is an education campaign on what marriage means to people and the importance of the basic understanding of Catholic marriage, that it involves, as I said, a man and a woman, that the only acceptable sexual relationships in the church are within the sacrament of marriage. So it's educating people further on the understanding of marriage.
Is the institution of marriage very much under attack, do you feel, or do the bishops feel that the institution of marriage is very much under attack at the moment in the U.S.?
I think that attack is a strong word. Attack sounds more obvious than it is. It's being undermined. I mean, there's nobody out there saying, let's get marriage. But surely marriage is being undermined when you can create other institutions that are supposed to be equal to it. I mean, marriage is the bedrock of our society. There is no other institution comparable to it. And the church objects to saying that there is.
The bishops are also scheduled to hear a report by Cardinal Donald Wuerl of Washington on the Vatican guideline for allowing communities of Anglicans to enter into full communion with the Catholic Church, the Anglicanorum Caritas. What is this report saying?
Well, we haven't seen the report yet, but I imagine it will be Cardinal Wuerl is bringing the bishops up to date on progress toward establishing such an ordinariate in our country. As you know, it already is established in England, and there are efforts to establish it in other countries, I believe also Australia. And so it's an information report. Now, right here in the Archdiocese of Washington, a parish has come into the Catholic Church. Now, this parish is coming in, an Anglican parish, planning to be part of an ordinariate not yet to be established, but that will be established. And so this allows Anglican groups to come in as one body, and to retain many of the customs and liturgical rites from their Anglican tradition.
And do you have any idea how many Anglicans, or Episcopalians, should I say, in the U.S. have already approached the Catholic Church with a view to entering into communion with it, becoming part of this ordinariate when it's set up? Do we have any kind of idea on numbers?
We understand that there have been many people who have approached Cardinal Wuerl. Cardinal Wuerl is coordinating this for the bishops in the United States. But at this point, before the report is given, I don't have any numbers.
And what other topics are being discussed by the bishops at this assembly?
Well, they're approving presumably will approve a document on preaching. That's an effort that the bishops have had on the burners for several years. And so is to develop a document which is involved in how do you improve preaching in the parishes. Preaching, obviously, is very important for educating our people and even for bringing people into the church. I asked somebody once, what do you do when you're bringing someone into the church? What are you looking for? He said, well, I'd start with good music, readings that are presented well, and a good homily. This is people's introduction into the Catholic Church. And so there's a need to improve the preaching that people hear. So that's one of the issues. Another issue is the bishops will be considering faithful citizenship, which is a document that they produce every 4 years about the obligations of citizens in a democratic society to be involved in the political landscape.
I was speaking to Sister Marianne Walsh, Director of Media Relations at the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops.